Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord here tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah, amen. You know, don't let the dog days of the summer heat slow you down. You know, I know a lot of people have a lot of things going on in the summer. You know, the Bible tells us over there in 1 Thessalonians 4:11, it tells us to study to be quiet. You know, one of my favorite verses, you know, to study to be quiet. And I like that verse because to me, you know, I kind of interpret it, study to slow down. You know, because I think people have a lot going on. And I'll tell you what, as a pastor, I've seen, you know, over these last, you know, several years that people have too much going on. They have, you know, they're just going from thing to thing to thing to thing. They have some new event, some new extracurricular activity to get the kids to, you know, every night. There's something going on. And there used to be a time in our country when people would slow down in the evenings. They would eat dinner together at the dinner table. You know, they would be done and they would, you know, spend some time together. And it wasn't just, you know, around the TV. You know, some people think, well, Pastor Tim, you're just old-fashioned like that. No, that's not being old-fashioned. That's limiting the amount of voices or worldly voices that are beaming right into your home. Well, this is interesting. Surely not my message I have on my notes here. But you know, the Bible does tell us, you know, and you can turn over there if you want to real quick. I don't know how long we're going to go on this. I don't know. I just came up here, and that's what I stepped into. Talking about people being a little overly busy, you know, and you know, staying overstimulated. You know what I mean by that? People are always watching TV, always watching movies, always have the radio on, always doing this, always doing that. When's the last time you and your family sat at the dinner table and had a conversation without the TV on, without iDevices or Android devices, you know, interrupting, that you sit there, you actually talk to each other all together, mom, dad, and children. Children are taught manners. Man, this just feels like we're starting with an episode of the Waltons here tonight. Little House on the Prairie. Oh, praise God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This verse started playing in my heart as soon as I started talking about, you know, people, they have so many voices that speak into their world. You know what I mean? And I'm not talking about the good kind of voices. Of course, we want to keep those. Of course, we want the voice of number one, the voice of the Holy Ghost, the written word, the voice of our pastor and our local church in our life. But I'm talking about, you know, some of those extracurricular ones that might get a little too loud in our lives when they shouldn't be so loud. I'm talking about TV. I'm talking about movies. I'm talking about all this stuff, the internet and so on, Facebook and so on. Oh, don't get me going on that. 1 Corinthians 14 in verse 10, I'm in the King James, and Paul says this to the Corinthians. He says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. All right? Yep. Yep. Now, in verse 10, in the Amplified, it says, there are, I suppose, all these many to us unknown tongues in the world somewhere, and none is destitute of its own power, expression, and meaning. Now, we can take this, of course, and we understand, you know, Paul here in context, he's teaching about unknown tongues. And he's teaching about, you know, that every voice or language has its own power, expression, and meaning, and tongues is no different. How many of you know, like, there are obviously many, many languages on this planet, and all of them serve a purpose somewhere, right? Chinese has a lot of meaning in China. English works in the United States and several other countries in the world in all these different languages, and each of them produces a certain result. Well, he's in context, he's talking about speaking in tongues is also produces power. How many of you know heaven has its own language? It's called the Holy Ghost. You know, if you're in China, you know, it sure would help to speak Chinese. You know, if you're in Brazil, you know, when I was down there, it sure would have helped if I would have been fluent in Portuguese. Or wherever you are, it sure helps to know the language of the land, right? Well, how many of you know the Bible says that heaven is the commonwealth? Or it's mentioned over there, and you can read it literally in the Greek over there in Philippians 3:20. It says that we're citizens of the commonwealth of heaven. Well, the commonwealth of heaven has its own national language. It's called the unknown tongues, unknown to us, but not unknown to God. All right, but in the midst of this, Paul says this in verse 10. He says, there are, as it be, so many kinds of voices in the world. He's not talking only of just languages, but just, you know, the power of the significance of every voice, meaning every voice carries with it power. Right. Because we know that words are a creative force on planet Earth, right? We know that. I mean, you hear me quote so many verses around here. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those that love it will eat the fruit thereof, right? Proverbs 13:2, a man will eat good by the fruit of his lips, right? But the transgressor will eat, you know, violence and so on. We could go Proverbs 6:2, a man is snared by the words of his mouth. A man is taken by the words of his mouth. I mean, we could go on and on and on with scriptures that warn about the power of words. Well, what about the words in that TV set? What, aren't we told that death and life are in the power of the tongue? Right? What about, you could say it this way, death and life are in the power of every tongue. Right? Because the tongue produces words. You know, words will either produce blessing or cursing, right? That verse, Proverbs 18:21 says they'll produce death or they'll produce life, right? What about the words of that TV set? Right? What about the words of that radio station? What about those words that are beaming into your life? What about the words of that music that you like to listen to that may not be godly music? Come on now. What are those words producing? Because notice that every voice in your life has some form of significance. It produces, and the Amplified says, has some form of power or influence. Think about that. Everything that you hear has the potential of living itself in your life. Sure. Come on now. That is why the Bible tells and teaches us to guard our ears, right? Remember over there, we looked at it, several weeks ago over there in Isaiah 33, starting in the 15th and 16th verse, and it says how we should stop our eyes and our ears from the hearing and seeing of blood and violence. Wow. You know, and so I just, you know, that scripture, you know, came up into my heart in verse 10, that there's so many voices in the world and none of them lack power. None of them lack significance. Not even the voices that you choose for your entertainment. You know, I mean, whether the voice of a college professor, a teacher, an employer, right? Think of it. I mean, whether it's the radio, whether it's the internet, whether it's Facebook, whether you're reading the words or you're hearing the words, all of them have significance and power. And so you need, you know, and obviously God is not going to hold us responsible for the things that we hear that we can't help hearing. You won't be held responsible for what someone else is saying at your workplace. Obviously, that's where love, patience, and mercy comes in. You are not here on this earth to, you know, to rule their life and show them how holy you are and tell them stop it and all that stuff. You're to patiently put up with that, you know. We're talking about the things that are within your realm of control. The things that you invite into your home. You turn on the TV, you have just invited everything on it into your house. You turn on the radio, or you put in that CD, or your old 1985 mixtape. You remember those? Okay, some of you don't remember the 80s or the 90s. Remember, you used to pass around mixtapes? You would trade mixtapes? Oh, man. I remember sitting down at my boom box, and you'd be recording for hours, you know, just to get some mixed tape. Well, every time you put whatever form of entertainment is, that movie, that music, whatever it is, you know, you've just invited that into your home. You've invited that voice. You've invited that influence. You know, and I believe so much that if you look, and I'm not trying to make this a political thing, I'm talking about the spiritual environment. If you look at the spiritual environment of our nation from its inception in the late 18th century until the invention of TV and the music industry and radio and media reaching millions of homes, you will see that the spiritual health in our country was pretty high and pretty consistent for 100 to 150 years. For a long time. I mean, there was a real consistency in spiritual health. I mean, we had revivals in our nation in the 1740s all the way in through the 1780s when our nation began. We had a second Great Awakening in the early 19th century, in the 1820s, 30s, yes. And beyond. All right. We had another revival in America in the Azusa Street Revival and the Pentecostal revivals of the early 1900s. And those fires were burning bright. America was seeing a renewal every 20 to 30 to 40 years on a regular basis until you start to see the inception of TV and media and all of this stuff, and spiritual health has been consistently declining in our country ever since. You know, and why is that? It's because this scripture is true, that every voice has significance and power and influence. And so when the devil needed to multiply his program, he needed to multiply words. Yes. What do you think Facebook is? What do you think the internet is? It is just an increase of words. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 10. Well, might as well turn my notes off again. I just stepped up, and that was what came up out of my spirit. And I could, listen, I've learned my lesson. You ready to have a transparent, teachable moment here? And you think, well, this might just pertain to pulpit ministers, but and it does, but it also could be applied to our lives too. You don't want to do anything without the anointing of God. You don't want to do anything apart from the approval of God. So many times I have been, you know, more so in the past, not so much lately, but times when all of a sudden things like this would happen and I'd be led to go in a different direction to minister in a service, but then I would just, the teacher in me just insists on sticking to my notes. You know, because it makes a teacher very uncomfortable, you know, in these kinds of situations, you know. But every time I've tried to just preach my own preparation, it is like chewing on sawdust the whole time. And so when you get up, you know, we got to, I mean, the lesson I'm talking about here is being led by the Holy Ghost. You know, that's why, you know, people tell me that they go to work day in, day out, and they say they hate their life, hate their job, then God didn't lead you into it. Now, I'm not saying your job might not be tough. I'm not saying, meaning, you know, that it might take effort and things like that. But if you are day in, day out, you know, and there is no grace on what you are doing, you're probably not in the right place. God, you know, the Bible tells us over there, I mean, you can read, even in the Old Testament, He blesses the work of our hands. You know, part of what was lost in the Garden of Eden, work was not the devil's idea. You know, you look over there in Genesis 2:15, it says God commanded Adam to work the garden and to protect the garden.
Yes, you're right.
Before sin ever came into the earth, Adam was told to work. Come on now. But see, remember one of the curses of the fall was that Adam would toil in labor and sweat and hate work.
That's right.
That was one of the results of sin upon mankind, that we would actually hate work.
Right.
You're thinking, you know, right now on the inside, you're thinking, amen, brother. Well, no, because Jesus came and redeemed us, not from every curse of the fall, you understand. Listen, there still will be labor and hard work involved with life. But listen, even Ecclesiastes talks about God giving us the power to enjoy the work of our hands. If you want to read that later for yourself, look up Ecclesiastes 5, 18 and 19. Talks about giving us the power to enjoy what we've worked for and earned by the work of your hands. There is an anointing of God to enjoy work. And if you just wake up every day, if your life is just nothing but, you know, no grace on it, well, something's breaking down. There's not a connection. Either you're doing something you're not called to do, or you've taken things out of bounds and you've gotten yourself too busy, or you don't rest your body like you should. Somewhere along the line, there's something. You know, you've fallen out of fellowship with God. I mean, whatever it is. If there's a disconnect there and you're waking up every day and there's just no grace on what you're doing, you better seek God and find out, make sure you're in the right place. Or see if you're not resting like you should, or maybe you're just too busy, or maybe there's just too many voices. I'll tell you what, the more voices in your life, the more tired you're going to be. Listen, it is a trap to think that TV refreshes you. It does not refresh you. I don't know what science fiction movie it was or whatever I saw or whenever I saw it. I don't know. It could have been years ago. I mean, it could have been when I was a kid. But, you know, some movie where, you know, I don't remember what it was. You know, the Body Snatchers or, you know, I'm starting to date myself now. These things that maybe you saw when you're a kid or whatever, and they would have these aliens would have these ray guns or whatever, and they would just literally suck the life right out of a person and literally drain them of all strength. When I think about that, that is what TV does to people. It is like a laser beam of the world coming right into your home and just drinking up the life right out of you. Yeah, boy, yeah, you're really enjoying me tonight. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 10 in verse 19. See, I tell you what, people get worn out with how many voices. Sure. They always got something going. Either it's the voice of media, or it's the voice of music, or it's the voice of the radio. I mean, or the voice of a text message, or the voices on Facebook, or voices of emails. I mean, all these words, all these voices, and it's making you tired. Come on, good word. It's making you tired. And look at verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Right? But he that refrains his lips is wise. When's the last time you spent just time being quiet? When's the last time you just sat in quiet and enjoyed quiet? Or a conversation. Actually, remember in the days when you used to actually talk to people? You remember that Disney cartoon movie, WALL-E? Remember, you know, Earth had turned itself into a trash heap, and they all got on spaceships and basically, removed themselves from Earth because the trash was all over, and they end up living in space. They're supposed to go up there for 5 years, and they're on their 700 year journey up there, and they show how, you know, they show the pictures of all the captains that had once ruled that ship up there in space, and they start out looking like normal human beings, and as picture by picture, they're all getting bigger and heavier and bloated looking, right, until you discover up there in space that there's all these human beings on this spaceship, and they're all floating around on these hover beds, and they all have the TV screen in front of them. And they'll see, like, whoever they're talking to, their face is on there, and the person is, like, standing right next to them, but they're still talking. Have you ever seen that? It's kind of a satire on where we're going as a society. And you know what? It is remarkably accurate, where people don't even have human communication anymore. They're just talking on video screens and all this stuff. And listen, I have text messaging in these devices and stuff too. But there comes a time when you are going to have to set down the voices and learn to get quiet, because there is a direct mission that all these voices have. It's to multiply sin.
Yeah.
The more words, the more sin. The more you talk, the more likely you are to sin. The more you listen to words, the more likely you are to hear or be tempted by sin. If the devil is going to multiply his plan, he has to multiply voices. Because his mouth has no power. But he knows that the human being's mouth does have power. Death and life are not in the power of the devil's tongue. He has no power in his voice at all. But human beings do. And so if he's going to increase his plan, he has to increase voices. Yeah. Yeah. Verse 19 in the Amplified, it says, in a multitude of words, transgression is not lacking. Wow. Yeah. But he who restrains his lips is prudent. You know, that's why it makes you tired, because sin is tiring. That's why all these voices are, they're distracting. They are tiring. They're preventing you from rest. Like I'm just going to keep saying it. When's the last time you sat in quiet? When's the last time you did something without being stimulated by media and all this stuff? Because here's, and I almost forgot to say this, but here's the mission of these plans. If you are so trained in those voices, you'll never hear the voice of God in your life. Or at very least, the voice of God will be diluted. It'll be confused. It'll be swimming around. The voice of God will have to fight through so many words, so many voices, so much going on, so much mental activity. Listen, we are not the healthiest when we are overly mentally active. Our bodies were not built to handle mental strain. I don't know why I'm teaching tonight. You know, words and voices and this and that. In the multitude of words, transgression is not lacking. The more voices you invite into your home, the more sin you're going to have in your home. You wonder, listen, I'm a former school teacher. I taught elementary school, and I taught a year of high school. And I'll tell you what. You know, the devil just loves seeing all these devices that are in our kids' ears all the time. I mean, you can hardly talk to a young person nowadays without earbuds. Hey, can you take the earbuds out of your head for 2 seconds? You know what I mean? So I can actually say something to you. You know, it's a mission. It's to cloud our judgment. It's to cloud the voice of God. It is to tire people out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I just feel like there's more for us here in this verse. In the multitude of words, there lacks not sin. I'll tell you what, that's a big heads up for talking all the time. Talking all the time. Getting mom on the phone when troubles come. You know, talking to so-and-so, going on Facebook, posting your problem. Listen. You better be careful. In the multitude of words, there lacks not sin. But he that refrains his lips is wise. I talked about Proverbs 13. Go over there. Hallelujah. I quoted verse 2 earlier, and I want to read verse 3, though, now. We'll start in verse 2, because that's the verse I quoted a few moments ago. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth, this is verse 3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. Wow. Let that sink in. He that guards his mouth, that's the word keep, means to guard. That's literally what it says in the Amplified. He that guards his mouth guards his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Now, I think it's really interesting. Look what verse 4 says. The soul of the sluggard. Right? I believe that verse 3 and 4 are connected. I really thoroughly believe that. You know, and what I'm talking about here is that the voices came into their life, made them tired, made them lazy, made them slow. Yeah. you know, and now they became the sluggard. And it says they desire, but they never have. They desire and never have. Why? Because they let it go out their mouth, right? Or they increase the number of voices around them in their life. Study to be quiet. This is just what the Spirit is saying to the church. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Thessalonians. I quoted this verse earlier. We'll just go look at it. You know, and just maybe, if this is a shorter service tonight, so be it. I'm going to preach what I feel like I need to preach. And when the anointing lifts, I will be done. Whether it lifts in 10 minutes or 50 minutes from now, I don't know. But I'm just going to go until it's done. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where did I tell you to go? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Glory to God. I'm in a different Bible tonight. I like using the Amplified at times. Yeah. And verse 11 is what I was quoting earlier. I love the rest of this verse too. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, that you may have lack of nothing. Yes. Look at in the Amplified. To make it your ambition and definitely endeavor to live quietly and peacefully, to mind your own affairs, to work with your hands as we charge you, so that you may bear yourselves becomingly and be correct and honorable and command the respect of the outside world, being dependent on nobody, self-supporting and having need of nothing. Glory to God. But notice verse 11 and 12 are connected. Notice the quiet life was the prosperous life. The less voices, the less opportunity they have to steal from your life. Oh, man. Oh, come on now. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, if this isn't helping you, then it is helping me. And if I'm just preaching to myself tonight, well, then that's just fine because I'm preaching myself happy because all this is making a lot of sense. And you start to understand why people start getting worn down in life. You start seeing it affecting their health. You see it start affecting their mental health. They get stressed. They get worn down. They're not resting. They're not quiet. They're busy every night of the week. They're not slowing down. They're not having dinner together. They're not shutting down all devices. They're getting caught up in this multimedia world. Come on now. And notice, it steals their prosperity.
Yes, it does.
Yep. He says, so make sure you do this. Make sure you mind your own business. Work with your hands so that you have something to give.
Oh, yeah.
And so that you will have lack of nothing.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that. Praise God. Praise God. You study to be quiet. Now, the Amplified says, make it your ambition and your endeavor. Those are not words that are suggestive. You know what I mean? When you sit down and study, that means you are disciplining yourself. That means you are correcting yourself. You are putting yourself through something purposefully, right? It's almost like fasting. Fasting is giving, you know, putting the body without food, all right, so that the spirit may increase. Well, what about being quiet? How about giving the ears a rest? Isn't quiet just a fast from voices? Study to be quiet. Discipline yourself, right? You might have to set up time. You might have to set up quiet time in your schedule because if you don't, you will never have it. There is always something to turn on. There's always something to look at. There's always something to listen to. There's always someone's status update to read. You know, all that stuff, that's not studying to be quiet. Study to be quiet. Yeah. That means you said it on purpose. Why? Because you don't want to be lacking something. You don't want to go without. This is why people are getting stolen from. You know, it was, obviously when I stepped up here, this was just it. I mean, I look back on it now. Today and yesterday, there were, you know, certain individuals, individuals that I know outside this church, individuals I know inside this church, and, you know, some names were just floating up on the inside the last 2 days, and I'm not looking at anybody specifically. Like I said, there was people also that I know outside the church, and about how they were running, you know, too much. I don't mean physically exercising too much. I mean that they're just going. Listen to me. Okay? And that they're putting themselves and their families at risk. To sickness, to mental illness, listen, right? Or to injury. Be careful. Be careful. It's not worth it to go all the time. And listen, I'll tell you what, if your kids are constantly seeing that as their standard, they're going to grow up to be that way. You don't want to raise busy children. Do you know what I mean by that? Where they feel like, you know, oh, I'm sitting here, there's nothing to do. Entertain me. And every little kid is going to do that and say that, and they're high energy, and even older kids, you know, very high energy. Listen, you are not being a bad parent. Actually, just the opposite. You're being a good parent for not falling into that all the time.
Amen. Good word.
I tell my boys all the time, Daddy is not an amusement ride.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm not open for business. You know what I mean? You know, I'm not going to entertain you. Well, what do we have to do? We have nothing to do. Remember when you had, there was a day when you had to imagine, like you know, that kids actually had an imagination and they played with toys and they built stuff with, blocks or whatever it is, and they actually had creativity. But we want that video gun. No. Listen, you ready for some Stallman family rules? Listen. I'm not going to come in and try to micromanage your house. I'm just telling you, there's a reason why I have, you know, and what we're talking about, there's a reason why I have these standards. My kids don't get video games. They're not being raised on video games. Every once in a while, we might have, you know, some, you know, cheap little simple game that's on the iPad. You know, every once in a while, we'll let our kids play that, and it's for a few minutes, and then they're done. And then when they're done doing that, well, when can we play that again? Not for days.
Yeah, sure.
You mean 5 minutes? No, like 5 days until you see that again. And this isn't, we're not talking about an entertainment system, a video game system or anything like that. I don't do that in my house. Because what you're going to do is you're going to overstimulate those kids. And I don't give into that thing, oh, I got to entertain my children. No, I don't. Go play in the dirt.
That's right.
You know, go get your toy trucks. Build some roads in the dirt. Do something creative and constructive. You know, you're not going to sit there and la 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 and turn your brain into overstimulated mush. all the kids in the place are like, dear God, shut him up. He's ruining my life. Oh, no. See, the reason why, oh, come on now. Listen, you wonder why a lot of these kids today have violent tendencies? First of all, because they don't have good parents. Second of all, it's because the reason why they don't have good parents is because their parents just let them sit and play violent video games all day, every day. Listen, a child's imagination and memory and their whole cognition isn't developed like yours. You understand the difference between play, you know, between fantasy and the real thing.
That's right.
You can understand that a little more. Not that I think that it's okay for adults to sit around and do that all the time either. But a child, they won't always discern the difference. They will want to act out what they have, you know, fantasized in that war game or whatever they're playing, you know? And it not only, you know, can lead to violent tendencies and stuff in kids, at very least it overstimulates their mind. You wonder why kids go to school and they can't sit there?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I mean, I was a school teacher, and I always dreaded November because that was when we had the parent-teacher conferences. And I'm not the type, and of course I do it diplomatically and lovingly, but listen, if there was a child that was having attention deficit orders, I know this, that drugs were not the answer.
Yeah.
Well, we got to give them Ritalin. We got to give them, you know, they have, oh, we diagnose them ADHD, ADHD, ADHD. All of a sudden, like, every other kid is ADHD.
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe because every other kid is going to school, being fed Mountain Dew in the morning, coming home and sitting from 4 o'clock until 10 o'clock on the video game, playing World of Warcraft or Grand Theft Auto or some such trash, and they wonder why they can't go to school and actually learn and get good grades. Come on now, why? Because no voice is without significance. I mean, you know, we're not living in the days of Super Mario Brothers anymore. Doop, 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 doop. Boing, boing. You know, those days are over. You know, I mean, where you're stomping on Goombas, now it's like you're blowing people's heads off. And there's zombie apocalypse and all this stuff, blood, guts, and gore. You know what I mean? You know, chasing around Pac-Man. You know, the days of Pac-Man and Ms. Pac-Man. I always thought that was a, you notice it's not Mrs. Pac-Man, it's Ms. Pac-Man. So it's a mystery whether she was really married to Pac-Man or not. We're not sure. But I mean, the days of Centipede or Excitebike or, you know, these little games that were so simple, those days are long gone now. Those days are long gone, and now these kids that are so overly stimulated, and they're wondering why they're having attention problems. They're wondering why they're having a depression. Listen, I mean, the things that kids are going through now, I'm not saying it wasn't tough in the times past and that it was always prettier in the times past, but I'll tell you what, things are a lot different now. As a school teacher, I mean, I had kids that were in my class that were held hostage by their parents. I had kids in my class that were so heavily medicated. One time, one child got up and went to the back of the room and literally, this is an 8-year-old, with all the strength that he had, he was slamming his head into a concrete wall. You know, and you know, people say, well, where is all this stuff coming from? I'll tell you where it's coming from. It's coming from all these outside voices. And the fact that it's our job as parents to defend and protect the home from too many voices. Listen, it's not just the parents that need to study to be quiet. It's the kids that need to study to be quiet. You know, I love that. You know, my wife has that policy. When Timothy and Michael, when things just get too wound up and you can just feel it's just in the air. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. It's just in the air, you know? Nothing maybe wrong has happened. You just sense that there's conflict or there's something coming down, you know? And my wife, you know, she's real diligent about this. As soon as she senses that, she's like, Timothy, Michael, get upstairs, sit on your beds, don't leave your room. We're just going to have a half hour of quiet. Or whatever. What is that? It's to settle things down.
Yes.
Bring that stimulation level back down. Why, what is that? Studying to be quiet.
That's good.
Studying to be quiet. You know, so many kids, they're spending, you know, they might go to bed on time, you know, but the sounds from the living room out there are mom and dad sitting there for hours and hours and hours on end listening to that stuff.
Right.
It's still in your home. Listen, if it's not directly being fueled into the funnels of your kids' eyes, then it's charging the atmosphere. Do you understand that there is a spiritual atmosphere around every home, church, business? Do you understand that? And it's voices that charge that atmosphere, whether for the good or for the bad. Whatever voices you're pumping into that atmosphere, that's what's going to be able to work there.
Right.
Why do we sing praises in worship? Why do we do that? Why do we have an anointed worship team? Is it just, are we here to listen to music? No. Are we here to worship God? Yes. But what does that do? What does the Bible talk about? That God inhabits the praises of his people, right? Right, and we can look at so many other scriptures. We could go over there to, what is it, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13, you know, when the singers and trumpeters were at one, or is it 1 Chronicles 5, 13? When the singers and the trumpeters were of one, making one sound unto the Lord, right? Saying the Lord is good, his mercy endures forever, right? Remember that? It says the glory of God came in the house, for the ministers could not stand to minister. Why? Because what happened, those words of praise and worship, it charged an atmosphere for God to move into. Whatever is said there is what can happen there. And the same thing is true negatively. Whatever is said there can happen there. And listen, parents, it is your job to guard what is said there. What is said there. Listen, have you ever come into a room and maybe in the midst of somebody having an argument, or maybe they just got done with an argument, you weren't there for it. Yeah, a lot of you are grinning. Yeah. And, you know, you come in and you just walk in and you didn't even hear any of it. You didn't even know what was going on. But you walk in and you're like, huh, something's up here. How many of you have ever been in that situation? Why was it that you could sense that heaviness? Because the words charge that atmosphere. Because that atmosphere is charged. Listen, you want to have a screaming fight in front of your kids? You wonder why kids are depressed? Have a screaming, yelling fight in front of your kids? Well, that's what's in your atmosphere, in your home. And that's what's going to sink in to those children. Come on. Say, hey, I'm just weeding your garden here tonight, maybe. But you know that when you walk into that situation and that heavy awkwardness just comes on you and you can just like it's so thick you could just cut it with a knife right in the room. How many of you have been in a scenario like that, right? Then on the other side, how many of you have ever been in a church service? You know, so many of the ones around here, right? I mean, the power and the presence of God is so thick. Why? Because it's been charged correctly. And that's why you need to be here. Because that's what's soaking into you,
yes.
Right? You're being watered.
Yeah,
you're being watered. Well, I'll tell you what, it works. The devil will try to exploit that too. Get the wrong words, charging the wrong atmosphere, right? Lightning doesn't strike by accident. You know what I mean? Tonight you're not looking out there at the weather tonight thinking that a lightning bolt's going to strike anywhere close to here, at least as far as I know. I don't think they're predicting that tonight. But I mean, right now or just in the next few minutes, you look at it. Why? You know, why isn't there a threat of lightning out there right now? Because it's not charged. It's not charged. And so whatever the charge is, that's what can happen. And same thing is true. You know, I have seen kids who have grown up so sad in life because they have grown up in an environment of their parents fighting the whole time. And they're sad. And they're sad. And they're depressed. And they're the ones going to counseling at school. Listen. Man, I know. I know we're really talking about some heavy things here. But everything that God does in this life is based on relationships. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Do you realize that everything that was ever created, no matter what was created, any of the elements that have ever been on this earth were created through a relationship between a father and a son. Do you understand that? The Bible tells us over there, we could go to several verses. What is it? Ephesians or Colossians. Is it Colossians 3:16? Ephesians 3:16. There's a bunch of them in there. It talks about Revelation 4:12. It says that all things were made by him and for him. Did you realize that even your very existence was a gift from the Father to the Son? If you've ever looked at this earth and wondered why the oceans, why the mountains, why the deserts, why the rainforests, why all this diversity on this planet, because that's what God the Father knew Jesus would like. all things were made by him and for him. All things. All things. So you could say it this way. Creation is based, it is founded upon a loving relationship between a parent and a child. And now everything in life will either work or be broken based on relationships.
Yes.
And you show me one child that grows up to have problems and becomes depressed and broken down, that isn't at least in part suffering due to the relationship breakdown of their parents. Yep. Meaning their fights and their constant arguing and bickering. Listen, a child will suffer from that. Yeah, I know. Oh my goodness, ouch, ouch, ouch. Don't talk about that. Listen, everything that God ever did is about relationships. And when words go out and work against relationships, whether a marriage, right? Come on. It's like this. Marriage is an institution of God.
Yes.
It is an invention of God, but a lot of people are trying to work an invention of God without God's power.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like they're trying to run a car on, some other fuel source. You know, they're trying to run a car on kerosene. Now, I'm sure there are cars out there that do run on kerosene, but I'm talking about a normal car. You know, listen, you do that, you're going to ruin something.
Right.
It takes the right kind of power.
That's right.
Source. You understand that? Yeah. You cannot take an invention of God and then try to run it on a different power source.
Right.
And people are doing that with marriage.
Yeah.
And that relationship is breaking down. And as soon as there is a break in the relationship, there's hurt.
That's right.
There's hurt. And I'm not even talking about maybe not even divorce, but just fighting all the time, arguing, cussing, silent treatment, unforgiveness, strife. You know what the Bible says in James 3, right? Right around the 14th through the 16th verse. Where there is envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. Wherever there's a fight, wherever there's an unforgiveness or an argument that goes unmended, the devil can work. Wow, it's charging the atmosphere.
Sure.
Study to be quiet.
Yes.
Study to be quiet. Study to be quiet. Guard or eliminate the amount of voices that are coming into your home. Listen, guard it. Why? Because we saw there that it's connected to your prosperity.
Yes.
You know, I've seen, I say this, and I don't want to talk about, I don't like to talk as if I'm some super experienced pastor. I have 10 years. There's guys that have been pastoring for 40 beyond, okay? So there's a lot that I don't know, and there's a lot that I need to learn. But I've been around just long enough to see so many marriages, so many families and kids suffer because of what we're talking about here. It was just a matter of being quiet, right? Slowing down. Putting some quiet time in the home. Come on now. Eliminating, you know, all this super stimulation. Listen, I'm not telling you you can't, you know. Listen, if you decide you want your kids playing video games, that's your decision. It isn't mine. You know, and maybe you need to limit it or whatever. Whatever is in your conscience to do with that, that's fine. Like I said, you know, some very simple games or something, whatever. You know, going on into the full-blown violent stuff with little kids and stuff, you better watch out for that. You know, it is not my job to micromanage your home. But I'm just telling you, I know that so many issues that people are dealing with would go away if they would learn to be quiet, that they would learn to slow down. What time is your slow time, you know, your slow time during the day? So many people, they don't even have a slow time anymore. They don't even have a quiet time anymore. Don't even eat dinner together anymore. I mean, you know, people, you know, if they do eat dinner, everyone's rushing, you know, to get done so they can get back to the TV, get back to Facebook or whatever. My wife and I, you know, I probably shared this experience, but we were out to dinner with our kids. I don't know when it was. And we were sitting in a restaurant, And we look over and there's a family of four. It was a mom, dad, boy, and a girl. And they're sitting there, and every single one of them, phone up to their face, not saying a word to each other. You know, I mean, I just wanted to go over there and just, you know, just wrestle up the inner Phil Robertson on the inside and grab up all those cell phones and just throw them out in the parking lot. You know, hey, how about this? Talk to each other. You know, how about this? Be normal. Ask what your kids did today. Ask what they learned in school today. You know, my goodness. You know, why? Because all these voices, they have significance. Did you get something out of this tonight? A little bit different of a service, isn't it? But I'm just sensing that we're done. And I'm not going to, Pastor Jeff's excited that we're done. Apparently he's gotta get home and get to Facebook, apparently. He's got a burning status update that he just can't wait to get to. Praise God. Hallelujah. Did you get something? Yeah. Those voices mean something. Whatever that song's singing about is what's trying to live itself out in your home. Whatever's singing out of that radio or being said out of that radio is what's trying to live in your life. All right? You know, that super high stim, kids just always, bam, 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 you know, all this stuff, you know. Don't be surprised later if you're going to subject your allow your kids to be subjected to that. Don't be surprised later when they can't pay attention in school. Don't be surprised when they punch another kid at school for no reason. They did it on the game. They want to see what it feels like in real life. Yeah. Come on now. You have to guard these things. And what are you going to do to study to be quiet? How are you going to eliminate these voices? What kind of quiet time are you going to put into your family? Say, well, man, my goodness, this really does just seem like some old, what is this, Leave It to Beaver now? And, well, you know, I'll tell you what, it'll be a lot better if we got back to those days, you know, where people were a lot quieter and not allowing their spiritual life to be drained out of their home through the TV set. I'm kind of sensing another soapbox coming here. But you can go ahead and close your Bibles, but we're going to have to delay Pastor Jeff's Facebook post here an extra few minutes. Oh, I'm just kidding. Well, we just like picking on him, don't we? Praise God. But I am just joking, for real. But, you know, all this stuff. Now I gotta get back onto the thought there. After, if you don't put these quiet times into your home, the devil's gonna make sure to fill it with busyness. If you don't schedule it, if you don't plan it, he's gonna make sure to fill it with something else. There's always going to be something else to do. All right? And you have to guard it. You have to guard it. And listen, married couples, you're going to have to get an agreement on this. You're going to have to get an agreement before it steals from you. Don't be so shocked, you know, when these kids, you know, like I said, they don't pay attention. They start having violent issues. You watch their grades. You watch their grades fall. Oh, come on. I know you're all just kind of wanting to unhook right now, and I understand that. You know, we're closing Bibles, we're closing up shop and everything. But I'm telling you, what are you going to do? What are you going to do to schedule in that quiet time? It matters.
Yes, it does.
It matters. All right, let's go ahead. Let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you tonight. Father, we thank you for what